Okay, today I'm going to have a message that I want to encourage you to think of yourself in your life as a gardener. For some of you, that'll be easier than others. Some of you like gardening, others of you, maybe not so much. But for the next 30 minutes or so, think of yourself as a gardener, number one. Number two, especially to husbands, I want you to think of yourself as a gardener in your own home. I'll talk to you about that shortly. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 7 through 9 reads like this. So neither one of you who plants nor the one who waters is anything, although you do need someone to plant and someone to water, but only God who makes things grow. God makes things grow. The one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, and they will be each rewarded according to their own labor. For we are God's co-workers. In God's service, you are God's field. King James says, husbandry. Notice that, men. God's building. A husbandry is the care and the cultivation and the breeding of crops and animals. Husbands, you are a gardener to your spouse. Wives, you are a flower. Young ladies, not yet married, or will be one day, you are looking for a gardener and nothing less. And I want to define that for you today. A gardener. And in Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 1, a statement is made of the Christ. A book of intimacy, of transparency, a book of vulnerability, of romance, of love, and an exchange of love between Christ and his church. This statement is made of Christ. I am a rose of Sharon, a lily of the valley. Got a flower arrangement here in front of the pulpit this morning. You have a dozen roses, and then you have lilies of the valley. Although they're so expensive, you can't purchase them. These are fake. In fact, if you wanted to have lilies of the valley at your wedding, it'd be half your budget. They're very expensive. We'll get to that in a moment. I am a rose of Sharon. Sharon is a valley in Israel, the Sharon Valley. It's beautiful and fruitful, flourishing, and it's also the breadbasket of Europe. I am a rose of Sharon, a lily of the valleys. All right, if you need a handout, raise your hand, but let's go to the handout here this morning. Number one, people often come from very different backgrounds. We're not always aware of it, we're not always sensitive to it, but people come from varying backgrounds, very diverse backgrounds, very diverse upbringings, very diverse experiences, even geopolitical experiences, cultural experiences, racial experiences, gender experiences. People come from all different kinds of backgrounds. Some of our history, some of our backgrounds affect us more than other elements of our past. Affect, A-F-F-E-C-T. Affect means to change one emotionally. That is to say, each and every person here in this room, from an emotional standpoint, is in part affected by your history, your background, your upbringing. Could be in the past as a child, or could be in the recent future. Could be the experience you had in a great marriage, a poor marriage. Could be you lost a loved one, but you are affected by your past in some way, shape, or form. And there's diverse ways of being affected by your past. Number three, some people's lives are more like a rose in a garden. Let's talk about that. I would say this morning that if you were to polarize two different varying perspectives, some of you are more like roses in your upbringing, and some of you were more like lilies of the valley. Let's talk about the differences. And let's talk about the differences to the extent we have a better understanding of ourselves, but more so, we have a better understanding of the people in our lives that we're seeking to affect emotionally and spiritually. This series is entitled Speech Therapy. So that begs the question, what is it that we say therapeutically to people who are more like roses, and what is it that we say therapeutically as ministers of the gospel to people who are more like lilies of the valley? And do you know the difference? My daughter was on the phone with me for, it was over 20 minutes. I'm trying to explain to her while she's at college how to open the hood of her car. And I'm thinking, for tens of thousands of dollars of education at Lee University, they're failing to understand how to tell someone how to open the hood of their car. I guess that's my fault. I should have told her. So now I'm saying, crouch down, look in there, get a flashlight, use your cell phone. It goes up or to the right or to the left, I can't remember. I feel like I have a fleet of cars in my home anyway. I'm probably the single highest supporter of North Carolina Farm Bureau Insurance there is in this region. So you can't change your oil if you don't get the hood up. And it's tough to get antifreeze in there when you only got 3 inches to work with. So when you minister to people or love your wife or your husband or your children, you've got to get the hood up and you got to get under the hood to get something done. You have to know the background, the wants, the needs, the perspective of the people you're trying to reach. And oftentimes we just lean on the hood as opposed to open it. We need a dialogue in our speech to get under the hood of the car. And you have to earn your way in there. It doesn't just open. You have to earn your way in there with trustworthiness, with respect. Even marriages that go south fail to deal with what's under the hood. There are underlying issues that need to be addressed. And until we get the hood up and help and get someone in there looking at it and prop it up and keep it up, we're going to be remiss in the way that we find healing in our relationships. Some people's lives are more like a rose in a garden. Roses are often nurtured. You know, people dote on them. They're in a greenhouse or in a part of the home where the sun comes in, and they're not overly exposed. They're protected from both extreme temperatures and extreme heat and extreme light and extreme cold. Roses are watered and pruned, and aren't they? They're even entered into, like, contests. Isn't that nice? Roses are, in a way, pampered. Roses are associated with what? Love and care and compassion and intimacy and specialness. Roses are important. And we use them in our society and our culture to convey and to communicate things. Roses are nice. And there's nothing wrong with roses. We need a world full of roses. But you know what? The world is not always rosy. Not besides roses, there are lilies of the valley. Some people are more like lilies of the valley. What is that? Lily of the valley is exposed. Out there in the middle of nowhere, all by itself. Exposed to the elements, exposed to high winds, exposed to high heat, exposed to frost, exposed to disease, infection. Lilies of the valley are not pampered, hardly. They're overwhelmed sometimes, even by floods, by the frigid cold. Lilies of the valley are very expensive. Now, you have to go out and get them at the right time because they only bloom in May and they're for a very short period of time. And if you have to go get them, you have to go look for them. They're valuable in that respect. Lilies of the valley didn't come up with the greatest environment. They came up more having to depend upon themselves, and they didn't have someone to nurture them or pamper them or lead them or prune them back. They got stuff growing all over the place. Number 7, I identify with being a rose or a lily type person. Are you a rose or a lily? You look at your life, you say, you know what, I came up pretty much having everything I needed, and I had the right people in my life. I had mentors, I had people to counsel me and nurture me. Wonderful, you're more like a rose. But then you got this lily of the valley, and you say to yourself, you know, I kind of had to get it done on my own. I didn't really have anybody, or I lost so-and-so, or worse yet, you know what, I created my own valley in a way. I rebelled, and I got out there, and I made it difficult upon myself. I made some mistakes. I willingly went in the direction and left the people that wanted to help me, and I got out there, and I created my own valley, and I'm paying for it, and I'm hurting, and my marriage is paying for it, and I have an ex-wife, or I don't have a wife at all, or I'm having a hard time getting my life going. So sometimes we create our own valleys, and we're out there on our own just kind of flowing in the wind. Sometimes we're a rose, sometimes we're a lily of the valley. And the people that you meet, the people that you talk to, the people that you befriend, the people that you are to minister to, if you get up under the hood, you'll find out if they're a rose or a lily of the valley or somewhere in between. It's important to know that. Remember, your love will abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight. This series is about getting insight into relationships, going beyond the superficial, getting underneath the mask, finding out what's really going on under the hood. And it's painful, and it's tragic at times, and it hurts. But it's a necessity. Engines lock up for fear of oil changes. Yes, yeah, sometimes we create our own valleys with our rebellion and sin. Sometimes our valleys were created by the rebellion and sin of people that brought us into this world. Didn't tend to us maybe like they needed to. Others of us are overprotected. Sometimes we're deeply wronged and we're terribly hurt and we're unnecessarily betrayed. Number eight, our lives should often intersect with other kinds of flowers. You may run with roses. You might be in a country club full of roses. I guarantee you, not everyone's a rose in a country club. And not everyone's a lily outside the club. There are people all over the place with all different kinds of issues and backgrounds and perspectives. And it's so convoluted and complicated. It's tough to figure out. But the idea here is your life should intersect with lilies of the valley, and it should intersect with roses and everything in between. Jesus' life intersected with the people that were hurting the most and the people who had it as cushy as possible. He went with the publicans and the sinners and the prostitutes and the drunkards and the gluttons and the thieves and the lepers. He knew people that lived in the valley and got pushed away by every gale force wind. He knew those people, but he also knew that the people at the high places. He knew the high priest. He knew how to minister to the educated people. He knew all those things. He knew the spectrum. Your life, my life, ought to intersect with people of every different kind of flower. As ministers, that's you. Please don't come to this church thinking, I'm the minister, like the minister. I'm a minister. We have hundreds of ministers here. You think I care about how many members this church has? I could care less. Someone asked me the other day, how many members your church have? I said, I have no idea. Who cares? I'm more interested in how many ministers we have. As ministers, we should be adept at caring for people of all backgrounds. How do I become adept at caring for the people in our life and understanding where they're coming from? Think of all perspectives. Especially during an election, this is going on, and it's so difficult because this election will drive you absolutely bonkers if you expect other people to see things the same way you see them. Or if you expect to influence them by the end of the polls Tuesday on things that have been going on in their life for generations or decades, that too is going to be frustrating. It's tough. Now, I'm not saying don't make the effort. I'm saying people look at things differently. I'll give you a couple examples. And I think this needs to be said. We tend to take our own perspective and assume that other people share it. My wife does this often. The people in the Northwest, they don't look at things the same thing we do. We are not even we're in the Bible Belt. We're the buckle of the Bible Belt down here on Tobacco Row. They think about things up there like granola. Trees, big trees. They look at things different up there. The highest suicide rate in the country is in that Tacoma, Washington area. It rains all the time. They look at things differently up there. You go to the Northeast, they look at things differently up there too. That's a cold culture, not just the weather. I'm talking about the social culture is cold. The church is struggling. There's ornamental types going on, but nothing under the hood. The church is totally different in the way you share the gospel up there in New England. Think about perspectives. Think about flowers. Think about people's how they came up. How many of the 50 million plus women who have had abortions in this country are still alive on the face of the earth today? Millions of them. Why do they vote the way they vote? Because they've not yet understood if I vote a different way, I'm actually condemning myself. Think about the perspective. Think about the way they look at things. Think about the hurt. It's a very, very convoluted thing. The people in Michigan are influenced by the labor unions, their dad's labor union, their mom's labor union, everybody's. We're labeled this, we've always been that. It's tough. It's tough breaking up that garden and that loose dirt and getting someone to see something differently. Everyone's got a different perspective. People in poverty. There's a mentality that comes with poverty. I tell you what, if I grew up in the south side of Chicago and I watched my big brother rob gas stations every day, and I got to be his age, I'd join a gang too and rob gas stations. What else would I know? What do I know about it? That's all I know. That's what I see. Perspective. Lily of the Valley. Survival. Lilies of the Valley, they try to survive and maintain day to day, even week to week. You can live paycheck to paycheck. Roses, different mentality, different perspective. Makes life interesting, and it makes elections very interesting. If you're a victim of a crime, you probably have a certain perspective on gun rights that other people don't. If you've been abused physically, sexually, you're going to have a different perspective on certain things. I'm glad it's not our problem. I'm glad it's God's problem. He's got a big one, whopping problem on his hands. He's got to figure this out. Everyone's got a different perspective. The battle is not mine, although I battle in it. The battle is his. So number 10, how do we best provide counsel to a rose type person? Well, we've got to get stretched, man. No one is allowed to feel too comfortable. Everyone, I need to get their hands dirty. This is why I like short-term mission trips. They cost more than, the money could be spent better elsewhere, but the reality is, certain people need to go to certain cultures, experience cross-cultural ministry, and people need to have other flowers in their life that have different perspectives, because both people grow when we cross-pollinate, so to speak. Rose people need to understand what it's like to live on the other side of the tracks. That's just not financial, that's emotional. That's every aspect of life. We need that. Jesus taught us that. If you're a follower of Christ, you're going to be led in certain directions into people who look at things differently. It's a great experience. How do we best provide counsel to a lily of the valley type person? Hey, listen. There are people in this community that are just flat out hurting, man. I mean, just hurting. Hurting. Emotionally hurting. Depressed. Frustrated. They feel like they're all alone in the middle of a valley in a windstorm or in a drought on top of it, and the soil around them is not plush and fertilized. It's cracked. It's like Jesus, a tender shoot to come up out of dry ground. It's like, I'm out here, man. I don't even know if I'm going to make it. That's a lily of the valley. How do you best provide counsel to a person like that? Depends. Did they create their valley, or was it created for them? Where is their hope lie? Is it in Christ or in themselves or in their circumstances? Once you get up under the hood and you can start sharing who you are and how you yourself used to be in the valley, now we start making some progress. I've been in deep valleys before. Deep. I've been in deep financial valleys, emotional valleys, spiritual valleys. Most of it was my own doing, but I'm going to leverage all of that pain if I can. To anyone who wants to listen, I'll tell them about it. I know what it means. I've been there. To whatever extent you've been there, leverage that. That's how we provide therapy to people. How is Christ both a rose and a lily? Well, he's our source of compassion. He's beautiful. Not in a physical way, but he is beautiful. He's special. And he understands what it's like to be beautiful on the inside, but also live among thorns, even hang beneath them. He is the Rose of Sharon. He is the lily of the valley. exposed, abandoned, and left for dead. Trampled on and betrayed by those who loved him. But he's the bridegroom too, and the church is his bride. Husbands, you are called to be a gardener. What does that mean? Your wife is a garden. As you look at your garden and as you listen to your garden, not in totality, but in all probability, the contentment of your garden is probably a reflection on your willingness to tend and keep it and nurture it and prune it and feed it and water it and protect it. You may not have liked hearing that, but you're a gardener. Sometimes it takes meticulous care and great patience to cultivate your garden. And your fruit isn't always immediate, but it comes. Did you marry a lily or a rose? That lily needs protection, emotional, verbal, physical. That lily needs attention, care, compassion, patience, and the washing of the water of the Word. That's your garden. That's my garden. Know your garden. We have to cultivate. Those of you who are struggling and you're in that valley and where's Christ? Who's Christ? Do I follow Christ? What does he care about me? Where is Christ? I'll tell you where he's at. He's in the valley with you because he's the lily of the valley too. Don't go looking for him. He's right there with you. You need only ask and embrace him. He understands. He feels what you feel. He hurts when you hurt. He grieves when you grieve. He's broken when you're broken. There's a scripture that says, a bruised reed he will not discard. Isaiah wrote about it. You pull a reed out of a swamp. If it was straight, you could cut holes in it and make music in it. If it was bent or bruised, it was no good. You threw it away. Hey, bruised reeds, bent reeds, don't think anyone will ever make music out of your life. A bruised reed he does not discard. That's why he says, I'm a rose of Sharon. That's why he says, more importantly, I'm a lily of the valley. You don't think you can relate to Christ? Come on. He's right there with you. He's in the mud with you. He's hurting with you. He even feels your fear, uncertainty. He gets it. If anyone gets you, it's Jesus Christ. The world might have 6.85 billion people in it, but the one who understands you the greatest is Christ. Don't run from him. Amen. I speak from experience. I was a major loser. I knew it. I knew it before everyone else knew it. Because what I put out on the outside said something different than I knew to be real on the inside. And absolutely, that day when my inside caught up with my outside, when I got real, that's when Christ came to my life and flooded my heart, overwhelmed me, physically, tangibly, overwhelmed me with the power of his Spirit when my inside started to match my outside. In everyday life, you and I need to know who we're talking to. Rose or lily? What have they been exposed to, present and past? What are they in need of to stand tall and bloom and blossom? Look closely to see how beautiful they are. It's right there. Look closely. Speak. Speak to that lily of the valley. A word of hope. What speech therapy is needed? A simple phrase. I'm Rose of Sharon and Lily of the Valley, but the implications. Husbands. Gardeners, husbandry, tend and keep, tend and keep, tend and keep. Nurture, pray, be attentive. When there's an offense between a husband and wife, you know what the gardener does? He's the first one to take the bullet. He'll actually take every bullet and ask for forgiveness. He'll be the first to humble himself. There'll be no blame game, no rationalization. The gardener steps in on behalf of the garden and owns responsibility. And the rose responds with, wow. Wow. He has my respect. He has my respect. He has my devotion. When the gardener starts pointing at the flower, the offense and the quarrel continues until the gardener finally comes to the understanding that it's my role to lead. I'm a foot washer. I'm a dishwasher. And I can love Christ the way Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. You end up with so much more respect and significance, the very thing you're looking for that cannot be demanded and has to be earned. That's a gardener. The man that can look at his wife and see a thorn bush and realize, I'm in part responsible for that, is a gardener. The man that can look at his wife and see a beauty where she can't, and see a blossom where she doesn't yet, and sees her in the image of Christ and has full confidence in her and tends and nurtures her to where she needs to be. That's a gardener. He sees a lily, he sees a rose, but he sees a fragrance no matter what. A fragrance that will fill their life with love and understanding. That's a gardener. Jesus says, I'm on both ends of the spectrum. You want to meet with me, you go anywhere you want, on any end of the spectrum of any flower, and I'm there. And I'll make your life fragrant. What women want more than anything else in this world is a man who will tend the garden. You'll end up with a fragrance of gratitude. Wise counsel, incredible service. You'll have a helpmate, a partner. You'll have all the things you want, but will never have by contesting every offense. You'll never have what you're looking for by contesting every offense. You have to go low to end up high. You have to humble yourself and be exalted. God opposes the proud and gives grace to the humble. There's something so real about a holy gardener. Something so incredibly real and, at first glance, incredibly risky and dangerous. If I'm to step out And I'm going to take responsibility. I'll be seen as less than I actually am. No, you won't. You'll be seen as you are. That's where grace comes in. Sometimes we marry a lily of the valley thinking she was a rose. And our ministry begins. Are we prepared? I was in a marriage conference. My wife, oh gosh, it's been 25 years. Mark Rutland and his wife Allison became friends of ours, and he said something, and I totally disagreed with it. He said, brothers, you look at your wife and you look at her countenance. What you see on her face and how she acts is a direct result of your ministry to her. It's your responsibility. I thought, no way, Jose. I said, that's placing 100% responsibility on one person. That can't be right. We can't. Everyone's responsible for their own feelings and their own. Yeah. 25 years later and 40 pounds later, there's more truth there than I realized. The real man is a man that will admit. Perhaps he wasn't the best gardener, or at least as good as he thought he was. Or better yet, men, we've not been a gardener at all. We have a responsibility to water and to be a source of light. God makes things grow. This is Husbandry 101. Let's remain quiet for a moment or so and just process and think. Maybe you're here today and maybe you got dealt a bad hand. Fair enough. Happens. You didn't have a dad, or you didn't have a mother, or you didn't have either. Maybe the ones you had fell short. Maybe you created your own valley, and maybe still are. But if things continue as they are, and you're in your valley and you see Christ on some mountaintop somewhere, and you're so far separated you'll never get together, even if you wanted to, you don't see it happening. Listen to me. He's right there with you. You think you're here by an accident? He's right there with you. This is what he wants. He wants to tend to you as he would a garden. He wants to prune some things out of your life that don't need to be there because they're hurting you. And you might even be the one hurting yourself. He wants to cut those things off so other areas can grow. He wants you to flourish. He wants you to grow. He wants you to grow stronger. He wants to lead you, and he wants you to multiply in other people's lives. You are expensive. You're a lily of the valley. You're the most expensive flower. And he paid the most expensive price to have you. He only bloomed for a short time himself. 3 years. to change all civilization. And he paid a price for you because he saw something in you before you ever were born. He knew your name, he knew your steps, how they were ordained, and he longed to have a relationship with you. He might be the dad you never had. He might be the employer and the opportunity you've never had. He might be the hope you can't seem to conjure up. He might be the dependability that you haven't found in anyone else, but he'll garden you. He'll get up under the hood. He'll do what needs to be done. If you need that relationship with Christ, hey, listen, apart from that, more of the same, then it gets worse. Then when you think it couldn't get worse, it gets worse. Don't tell me you disagree. Look back. Look back without him. It was okay. Then it got worse. Then it was okay. Then it got even worse. Lily of the valley. You don't know what storm's coming around the bend. And there's no one there to tell you to get prepared. And if you could, you couldn't prepare. You don't have Christ. You need Christ. You need Christ. That's what you're looking for. You need Christ. From one lily of the valley to another, you need Jesus Christ, man. That's it. I don't even know what to say other than that. You don't even say anything else. You need to bow that flower down to the desert floor and say, I'm thirsty for something more than what I got, and I ain't finding it where I'm looking, and it ain't happening. You need Christ. Or you need to come back to Christ. You're looking for another answer. You're not finding it in me. I'm too sure of what I'm saying. So everyone's just going to have to deal with that. Because I say so. Because the book says so.